If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
I'm Tony Bierski. Thanks for joining us. In court, Alex Murdaugh was confronted by prosecutor Creighton Waters about the lies told by the disgraced lawyer during a police interview that happened just hours after his family was murdered. Waters grilled Murdaugh about when he decided to lie, to which he admitted to telling specific falsehoods, otherwise known as lies, to investigators that June of 2021 night. The confession has added to the growing list of inconsistencies in Murdaugh's story, leading many to question the truth about the murders of his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. Take a listen.
So,
what you're saying is not accurate.
You're saying that you didn't say very specifically to law enforcement that you went to them prior to calling 911.
When?
After you got out of the car, you told law enforcement repeatedly that you went over and checked the bodies before you called 911.
No, I don't. If I did say that, I don't believe that's accurate. Did I check Maggie and Paul before I called 911?
Correct.
No, sir. That's not accurate. At least that's not what I remember.
That's not what you remember saying, or that's not what you say now happens?
No, that's not what. That's not what I believe happened.
Okay, but you don't deny that's what you said.
Did I check Maggie and Paul before I called 911?
Correct.
I don't believe that's what I said. Now, I know I checked them. But I don't believe I checked them before I called 911. Because I can pretty well remember vividly. When I checked Paw, I was already on the phone with 911.
Looking at this data, to show the vehicle parking at 10:05 and 55 seconds.
Yes, sir.
And 10:05:57, the Suburban arrives at the kennels. You agree with that?
Sorry, say that again, Mr.
Williams. At 10:05:57, it shows the Suburban arriving at the kennels.
Okay.
The 911 call was at 10:06:14.
Okay.
Just about 20 seconds later. You agree with that?
I think that sounds right. Yes, sir. I mean, that makes sense. But that goes back to what I'm saying is I pulled up. I saw them. And I know I jumped out of my car. But I believe that before I checked them, in fact, I'm almost certain, then I went back and I got my, that's when I went and got my phone and I called 911.
Okay.
And then after I called 911, there was a little while where there wasn't, I don't think there was anything going on. And I believe that that is the time period that I went and checked on them.
I don't want to belabor this point, but that what you're saying here today, now that we have this data, that's not exactly how you expressed it to law enforcement in your prior statements. Is that correct?
No, sir. I disagree with that. Okay. I totally disagree with that, Mr. Waters. Will you point to what you're talking about?
All right, sir. I left the house without a watch.
12:57.
All right, Ms. Murdoch, state your full name for me, please.
Richard Alexander Murdoch.
Spell your last name so it'll be correct.
M-U-R-D-A-U-G-H.
Alright. And you go by Alec?
Yes, sir.
And date of birth, Mr. Murdoch?
May 27th, 1968.
And a good phone number for you.
803-942-1227.
And sir, what was your name?
Yeah, Danny Henderson.
Okay. All right. As I stated, I'm David Owen in Lower Rutland with Collin County. I'm with SLED. I hate to have to do this.
I understand. Yeah. I totally understand. Yeah. So you don't have any problem with it.
So, just start at the top, take your time.
Like when I came back here, mm-hmm. I mean, I pulled up and I could see them, and, you know, I knew something was bad. I ran out,
I knew it was really bad. And my boy over there, I could see it was... I could see his brain on his... And I ran over to Maggie. Actually, I think I tried to turn Paul over first. You know, I tried to turn him over, and I don't know, I figured it out. His cell phone popped out of his pocket. I started to try to do something with it, thinking maybe, but then I put it back down really quickly. Then I went to my wife, and I mean, I could see... Mm-hmm.
Did you touch Maggie at all?
I did. I touched them both.
Okay.
I tried to take, I mean, I tried to do it as limited as possible, mm-hmm. but I tried to take their pulse on both of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I called 911 pretty much right away, and she was very good. I talked to her. I told her I was going to get off the phone to call some family members. I did that.
What family members did you call him?
I called my brother Randy. And I called my brother John. And I tried to call a little boy, a real good friend that's right around the corner from here, but I didn't get him.
That person you didn't name, that was Rogan, the little boy right around the corner. Is that who you're talking about?
That's correct. But going back to your question, I mean, that's the way I remember it, what I said right there. And I, you know, your question about did I do these things before I called 911, that's not what I said then, and that's not what I remember now.
Okay. So you're saying now that you went out, you checked, you came back, got your phone, and that's when you called 911?
I'm not saying that now, Mr. Woods. I am saying that now, but to me, that's what I said then. I mean... I told her, I called 911 right away. I didn't have, there was no time to do the things that I'm talking about doing in the time between getting there and calling 911.
When you talked about calling Rogan, and you said that he lived right around the corner, correct?
That's correct.
All right. But Rogan wasn't staying there at the time. That's the whole reason that Cash was at your kennel, right? You knew that.
Well, Rogan was staying in Buford a lot, but he was home a lot too. I didn't know where Rogan was on a daily basis.
About keeping his dog Cash at the kennels when he was staying with his girlfriend and working down in Buford?
Yes, he had asked me that. But I mean, that had been some time before. I didn't know. You're making a big deal about this, Mr. Waters, but that particular night, I didn't have a clue where Rogan was staying or not staying. I was trying to find somebody to come out there with me. I'd called Randy, I'd called John, and Rogan was the next best alternative.
Okay.
And Rogan is so close. I mean, Rogan, of all these kids that you've heard, Rogan, Gibson, Roro is like a Rogan. You prefer when I call him Rogan, is truly like a son to Maggie and I. And he was such a good friend to Buster, and he was such a good friend to Paul. And you've been through everything I have. You'll see that 2 weeks or 3 weeks prior to this, I ran out of gas when Bus and Pawpaw weren't home. And Rogan's the person that I called to bring me gas.
Okay. Nobody's disputing any that Rogan would have helped you. Let me keep playing this.
Around Paul when you walked up.
Blood.
Anything else?
I mean, there was some body things, yes, sir.
I mean, like any other evidence. I know you said the phone fell out of the pocket, but did you see anything else that didn't belong or shouldn't belong or that wasn't part of Paul?
No, sir, not. No, not. No, sir.
How about Maggie?
No, sir.
You didn't see anything around now? What made you come out here tonight?
I went to, my mom's a late stage Alzheimer's patient. My dad's in the hospital. My mom gets anxious when she does. I went to check on them and Maggie. Maggie's a dog lover. Okay. She fools with the dogs. And I knew she'd gone to the kennel. I was at the house.
You just testified that in the wake of this, you didn't know what you said to law enforcement. That was what you just said.
No, I mean, I know a lot of what I said to law enforcement, but there's a lot of things in looking back at this video for one, the 911 call for one. I mean, there's a lot of things that I didn't remember.
Okay. But right then and there, just not long into this interview, you made a conscious decision to lie right there.
Play that again.
You said, I was at the house.
And I knew she'd gone to the kennel. I was at the house. I left the house.
We played.
You want me to back it up some more?
Well,
yeah, we can keep listening to it.
Anything around now? What made you come out here tonight?
I went to, my mom's a late stage Alzheimer's patient. My dad's in the hospital. My mom gets anxious when she does. I went to check on them and Maggie. Maggie's a dog lover. Okay. She fools with the dogs. And I knew she'd gone to the kennel. I was at the house.
You want to hear it again?
No, sir, but I don't
so
think...
So you made a conscious decision to lie right there, this early into an interview, sitting in the front seat, correct?
I don't believe so.
You didn't make a conscious decision to lie?
I don't believe that was lying at that point.
Okay, tell me why not.
Because Maggie had gone to the kennels and I was at the house.
Okay. So you think you were being... That was not a lie at that point?
I don't believe so.
At what point did you decide to lie?
I'm not sure, but it was in that...
It was in this interview?
I believe that it was.
Okay. Was this interview where you're sitting in the front seat, correct?
It is.
You're not in custody, correct?
I'm not in custody.
They're giving you water, letting you chew tobacco... Treating you politely, correct?
They would treat me very politely.
So what was it that clicked? So you said it's this interview that it clicked that I'm going to lie about the most important fact that I know?
I'm not sure exactly when in it that I lied, decided to lie, but I believe it was during this interview. I believe all those things that I talked about, you know, those things that had gone on, the things that people had said to me, about don't talk to anybody without a lawyer. Partners all told me that, or a lot of my partners told me that. My dear friend, Chief Alexander, was one who said that. I believe it was Sheriff Hill. I'm not positive. I overheard him tell, I believe, Mark Ball or Gray Holmes, don't let him talk to anybody without a lawyer. And what I believe is that based on my distrust of SLED and getting in that interview, and I'm not positive about this, but I believe when he asked me you know, about my relationship with my wife and my son, I believe that's when I decided to lie. But I'm not positive.
You left out when you had the GSR, too, because that's what you testified to yesterday.
That certainly contributed.
And your dope paranoia, too. You said that as well, correct?
Well, those things are what triggered the paranoia that started as my addiction evolved.
Right. And so you're an experienced lawyer and you've been a prosecutor, and you took the advice of your law partners that you should have a lawyer there, as you read that as, oh, I should lie.
No, that's not an accurate.
Because that's not what that means, is it, Mr. Murdoch?
That's not an accurate statement, what you just said, Mr. Waters.
I just repeated what you just said. You said it was one of the factors was your law partners, and now you're blaming Sheriff Hill and Greg Alexander, told you that you needed a lawyer before you talked to police, and you took that somehow as meaning I need to lie?
No.
As a lawyer and a prosecutor?
No, that's what you said, Mr. Waters.
Right,
but
how am I mischaracterizing it from your perspective, Mr. Murdoch?
Because
I think isn't that what you heard? Isn't that what you just said? Excuse me.
No, sir. That's not what I said.
All right, so, say it again.
I believe those guys were trying to help me. I believe they cared about me. I believe they thought that I was in a condition such that I shouldn't talk to anybody. I mean, those guys had to prop me up, help me get myself together just to be able to go talk to David Owens. I mean, they were trying to help me. But before that, that was just one of the many things that I believe led to that situation sitting in there where those paranoid thoughts came to me. Them talking about not talking to anybody without a lawyer, Brian Varnado, checking my hands, the fact that I got a pocket full of pills in my pocket. I was the person who found Maggie and Paul. My distrust for Sled. All of those factors combined and made me decide to lie. I also know him asking me about Maggie and Paw contributed to that paranoia. All I'm saying is, I'm not disputing that I lied. I'm just saying at this point, you're saying I made a conscious decision to lie here, and I'm saying I don't think I made a conscious decision right there.
Okay, so later?
I believe so.
Had you already had your GSR done at this point?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I had.
And you'd already talked to your law partners and talked to and heard Sheriff Hill. Now you're blaming him and Chief Alexander now as well for your lies.
No, sir, Mr. Waters.
Well, you just added that one. You didn't say that yesterday. You just added that one.
Please be given an opportunity to answer the question.
Say on the fly. Objection.
You can finish your last answer.
All right. Mr. Waters, I'm not blaming anybody. I accept full responsibility for what I did. What I'm saying is what I believe contributed to me doing that and the reason why I did that. I think those folks were trying to help me, so I don't blame them. I think they were worried about me.
Okay. I don't dispute that, but you're saying you took that advice as I need to lie.
Nah. What you're doing is you're isolating one single thing.
I'm not isolating anything. I've mentioned all the factors. You've added some new ones, but I mentioned all the factors that you're blaming for your decision to lie.
That's not what you did. What you asked me is you said I took my partners telling me not to talk to somebody without a lawyer as a reason to lie. And that's an inaccurate statement. That was one of the factors that went into a series of events, all right, that caused me to have paranoid thinking, all right, and then I lied.
All right. But at some point it happened during this interview that you crossed over. You're saying that you came into this interview intending to be fully disclosing to everything, and something happened in this interview that sent you over the edge, and you said, hey, lie about the last time I saw my wife and child alive, supposedly, according to me.
I certainly didn't go into that interview, I believe, intending to lie. Mr. Waters, I wasn't capable at that point in time of planning anything or thinking through anything.
So somehow during this interview, all of a sudden, those senses came to you to plan and do that.
When I got to thinking in that paranoid way, that normally, as I said, I mean, I could take a deep breath and make it go away. I never had a situation where it lasted more than a matter of seconds. That night, after all those things had happened, it didn't go away in a matter of seconds. And I decided to lie.
Those are the clothes that you ultimately gave to Dave Owen, is that right?
Those are the clothes I gave to David Owen.
At what point did you be able to chuck the pills you say are in your pocket? When did you do that?
When I was in my bedroom.
And you're in the bedroom?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you put them?
I'm not sure where I put them, but ultimately they would have gone in my suitcase.
So that's when you did it? Do you have a specific recollection of that?
No, I don't. I just know that I took them out of my pocket.
If we watch this whole video, you think you could, if we watch the whole thing, you think you can say, okay, that's the moment where my senses came to me and I decided I was going to tell this major lie?
I don't know that it happened like that, but I mean, I may be able to tell you some things that contributed to it if we watched the whole thing.
Yeah, we've heard that. I just want to be clear, though. At least on this one, at some point during this interview, when you were able to plan your lie about this event, and you made that decision.
Obviously,
but it wasn't what we just played. It wasn't yet. It was some point after that.
I don't think that's a lie right there. Is the reason why I don't think that it's occurred before this, because what I'm saying there, I believe to be truthful. And I know this. I know for a fact that when David Owens asked me about my relationship with my wife and my child, I know that that played a role in that. And I believe that, and I may be wrong, but I believe that this was before that.
You ever heard the expression, not telling the whole truth is the same as telling the lie?
Sure I have.
That's something you understood as a lawyer and a prosecutor?
Yes.
All right.
Ms. Murdoch, state your full name for me, please.
Richard Alexander Murdoch.
And spell your last name so I get it correct.
M-U-R-D-A-U-G-H.
All right. And you go by Alec?
Yes, sir.
And date of birth, Mr. Murdoch?
May 27th. 1968.
I have a good phone number for you.
803-942-1227.
All right. And sir, what was your name?
Yeah, Danny Henderson.
As I stated, I'm David Owen and I'm Laura Rutland with Tompkins County. I'm with SLED. I hate to have to do this.
I understand. Yeah. I totally understand. Yeah. So you don't have any problem with it.
So.
You hadn't decided to lie right there, correct?
I don't believe so.
You told David Owen that you understood that he had to ask questions and you do what you need to do, correct?
That is what I told him.
That's the latest that we have for you right here. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. You don't miss any of our continuous coverage. For a commercial-free experience, you can go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our premium channel there, where you'll get access to all of our channels, all of them ad-free. Dive into the world of true crime as deep as you want to go. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.